Now, the first round of Democratic debates in the lead up to the 2020 presidential election will take place over the next 2 nights. 20 of the now 25 declared candidates qualified to take part in the debates. 10 will be on stage each night, including Senators Elizabeth Warren and Cory Booker this evening. Senator Bernie Sanders and former Vice President Joe Biden will speak tomorrow.
There's still plenty of time until Democratic voters officially get to vote for their favorite, and some voters have even already made up their minds. Today, we have unlimited access to information and candidates through social media and the 24-hour news cycle.
Given that, voters have access to a lot of information already about the candidates. Do the debates still matter? And what does a successful debate look like? We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Let us know if you're planning to watch and what you're hoping to hear from the candidates. Again, that number is 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org.
Mike Wagner is a professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So it's been a while since we've had one of these debates. So remind us of what the structure is going to be like for this debate tonight.
Well, I don't really think that we know what the structure will be like tonight with 10 candidates on the stage. And will people abide by the rules? I think we learned in the 2016 debates when Donald Trump and then eventually some other candidates started not listening to the rules and just talking when they felt like it, that if moderators won't rein people in, the structure starts to lose any kind of coherence. And so I'm not exactly expecting a breakdown of that tonight, but you know, you have a couple of hours, you have some opening statements, you have moderators switching in and out, and so each candidate probably gets, best case scenario, 6 to 7 minutes to talk to the voters. And so it's going to be a lot of information coming at voters quickly from people that most voters are not terribly familiar with.
We're not terribly familiar with a lot of these people. At the same time, you know, we're in an era where social media is everywhere. We have a 24-hour news cycle. If we really want information about these candidates, we can pretty much find it at our leisure. So with that in mind, do these debates still really have the same importance that maybe they once did?
Well, you know, in some ways, I would say that this is more important because there are so many people running, and most voters are not familiar with most of them. And so, yes, I could Google the candidates running for the president and maybe learn a little bit about them, but I probably would need to know who they are first. And I think if we were walking down State Street in Madison and said, can you name the 20 people who are going to be on the stage? Most people, I bet, would get 7 to 10, maybe, but to get all the way to 20, I don't know. And so I think even in a fractured media environment and in a fractured communication ecology that we have now, this is a focusing event. Lots of people are going to be watching the same thing, which happens way less than it used to. And so in that respect, I think the debate is maybe more important because there are so many people running. Undecided is a super popular candidate right now. And so this is a chance for voters to learn about who should I take seriously in the coming weeks and months.
So each candidate, as you said, will have, you know, maybe 6 to 7 minutes of speaking time total this evening. Who are they going to be talking to? Is it going to be the undecided voters, supporters, Democrats, undecided people with money? Who's the audience for this debate?
Yes. I think it's a great question, right? I think it kind of depends on who you are, right? So Joe Biden wants to do no harm. He wants to remain the front runner. And so he probably needs to prepare for a few probably genteel attacks from some of the candidates who might look to make a name for themselves. Same with Senator Sanders as one of the front runners as well. So they might be talking to their supporters to try to hold the line. Other folks, I think maybe 7 of the candidates are polling above 1% on average. So the other 13 are talking to everybody. Please learn who I am. Please remember something about me that you like to help as the campaign goes forward. And then I think those folks, the Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Amy Klobuchar, maybe Beto O'Rourke, maybe Julian Castro, maybe Senator Gillibrand, those folks are all people that we thought would be in that top tier, and they kind of are moving around a little bit as the polling is pretty volatile right now. And so I think they want to become a viable second choice to Biden or Sanders, and I think they want to see if they can get themselves into double digits in terms of how they might look in polling that comes after the debate.
We're talking right now with Mike Wagner. He's a professor of journalism and mass communication at UW-Madison, and we're talking about the first of two Democratic debates taking place tonight. And you can join in with your questions or comments at 800-642-1234. And Mike, I'm thinking about something that our guest Ginger Gibson said earlier in the show when she was saying that she thought that candidates might be taking some extra shots at each other tonight because it'll give them more airtime. And, you know, we said we don't really quite know the rules yet. We're not really sure what's going to happen. But do you expect to see some candidates take some shots at each other because they think, hey, maybe I can get a couple extra minutes of time to really talk more about what I want to talk about?
You know, that's interesting because it could backfire in a couple of ways. If they're the only person taking shots, then they might come off looking too aggressive, too mean. Right now on the campaign trail, most candidates are not attacking each other for the most part. There have been a few exceptions here and there, but mostly it's been to draw out a policy distinction, not to be an outright attack. And so if only one person is doing it, I think that probably would be reported upon in the aftermath as a negative as compared to a positive. If several people are being negative toward one person, so presumably Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders probably as the people who are currently leading in the polls, then the story might be how those people reacted to that. And often what happens in debates is if I, as a candidate, mention your name, then you get to respond. And so candidates might hold their fire because they don't want to give the front runner extra time to talk.
Sure, and I would imagine they're also a little worried about maybe rankling the DNC or the people with the money who might say, oh, that person, they're a troublemaker. We don't want them as a candidate. Is there anything to that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the DNC really is wary of the perception that their thumb was on the scale for Hillary Clinton in 2016. And so as one reason we have two debates, randomly selected 20 people on the stage, it's pretty easy to meet the requirements to get on the stage. The DNC is doing all that it can publicly to not look like they're trying to favor any particular candidate. And so I think that they would be loath to be viewed as supporting someone or not, or punishing someone or not for being negative. I think they do not want what happened at the Democratic convention in 2016, where there were lots of complaints about how the DNC seemed to favor Hillary Clinton in terms of the debate scheduling. First of all, the number of debates last time and other factors that influenced who the nominee became.
So when 10 Democrats take the stage tonight and another 10 take the stage tomorrow, are we going to hear more about like in-depth discussions of Democratic policies, or are we going to hear more about, hey, I'm the man or woman who's best set to beat President Trump in a general election?
I think we'll hear a little bit of both, and depending upon who the candidate is. I think, you know, folks like Elizabeth Warren lead with policy. Others like Pete Buttigieg lead with biography. And so we'll hear from some candidates, here are the things I have done that make me qualified to be president. So we'll hear from others, here are my great ideas. From others, we'll hear, I'm the electable one. I think those are the three kind of major arguments that we'll hear in one form or another from different people over the course of the two nights.
We have a Facebook comment from Michael who says, I'm planning on watching both of the debates. There are five candidates I'm interested in hearing. I'm looking for demeanor and possible platform ideas. And I'm interested in that word demeanor. Are we looking for someone up there who looks presidential?
Well, the current president has violated a host of norms about what it means to be presidential. And I think the Democrats are nearly unanimous in their rejection of President Trump when you look at public opinion polls of presidential approval. And so demeanor, tone, the way they comport themselves when it's their turn and when it's not their turn, I think will all be things that some voters are watching. And those who are particularly rankled that President Trump beat Hillary Clinton in 2016 might be more affected by that sort of thing than they might have if someone else was the president right now.
And I'm also wondering, too, for all the Democratic candidates that are up there, do they risk of saying, do they have to balance that need to really put stuff out there versus something that could potentially be held against them by a general election opponent later down the line? How do they navigate that?
Well, they navigate it in a few ways, right? So if you're somebody who's polling at 1% and you take a shot at one of the top five or six candidates, that shot could end up in commercials against your team's person, you know, in the general election. So candidates need to be wary about attacking, and they also need to, of course, think and worry about gaffes. But those things happen in debates, and there's not a lot of evidence that they are hugely influential in affecting people's attitudes.
We're talking right now about the upcoming Democratic debates with Mike Wagner. He's a professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you watched debates in the past? Do you plan to watch them in the run-up to 2020? How much does a candidate's debate performance influence your vote? Call 800-642-1234. Again, that's 800-642-1234. Or email us at ideas@wpr.org.
We'll pick up this conversation in just a moment here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson.
And I'm Chris Molina. We're continuing our conversation about whether debates still matter and what to watch for tonight and tomorrow as the Democratic presidential hopefuls take to the debate stage.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. We want to know what you think about the presidential debates. Is there a candidate you are really interested to hear from? What questions do you want the candidates to answer? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can tweet us at Central Time WPR.
And Mike, we talked a little bit earlier about the moderators. There's going to be 5 moderators over the next 2 nights, and they're going to be swapping in and out. And if there's one group of people I do not envy out there right now, it's the moderators, because
right.
They have a tough task at hand, and it feels like regardless of what they do, they will get criticism somehow from somewhere. So what advice do you have for the good folks, our friends at NBC, to help make this debate as good as they possibly can in terms of moderation?
I would focus on making the candidates, to the degree that they can, talk about what they would do if they were president. That's what's relevant. So say something nice about your opponent, are the kinds of things that we might like as humans but are not relevant to the job of being president of the United States. And so I hope that they stay on decisions and processes of decision making and policy goals and strategies to get those policy goals implemented. I hope they focus on those things when they're asking questions during the debates.
We have a Facebook comment from Joan who says she will be watching, and she says, considering the time limits, I hope they address what they think our most pressing problem is and how they would solve it. Mike, is that a good question for the candidates tonight? What is the most pressing problem that they see it and how they would solve it?
You know, in a 10-person per night environment, that's not a bad question. The downside, I guess, is that it allows each candidate just to kind of go into their stump speech and talk about what they want to talk about. But of course, candidates can do that anyway in a debate. They can choose to answer the question they wish they were asked as compared to the question that they were asked. And asking them even to go into their stump speech isn't necessarily terrible either, because most of us are just being introduced to these people. And so hearing what they think is their best argument is a reasonable way to start to get to know these folks.
So we've got 10 candidates tonight, and I won't make you name every single one of them. But out of the 10, who needs to have the best debate performance tonight, in your opinion?
So tonight you have a few people who are looking to show that the early buzz should continue and, in fact, maybe shift into a little bit of overdrive. Cory Booker, Julian Castro, Amy Klobuchar, Beto O'Rourke, those are all folks who we might have thought would be doing a little better than they actually are doing. And Elizabeth Warren is kind of the top tier candidate in this debate. The others are all going the next night. And so Warren, I think, wants to come out of this. She maybe has the most to lose, and that other group has the most to gain. The others are going to be fighting for attention and that hope that they can get themselves out of the less than 1% range.
And let's talk about tomorrow's debate as well, again, featuring former Vice President Joe Biden. It will be featuring Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. I'm assuming both of them need to have really strong debate performances to kind of continue polling where they are right now, which is pretty high up.
Well, I think right now they're high up because they're the two that everybody's heard of. And so that name recognition matters a lot in the very early days of presidential campaigns. You think back to 2004, and you know, Dick Gephardt and Howard Dean had been all over the news, and you know, they were the top two candidates, you know, coming into Iowa, and they were both out of the race, you know, a month later. And so the front runners are the ones who are known, and it's folks like Kamala Harris and Kirsten Gillibrand and Pete Buttigieg and John Hickenlooper. These are all folks who are would be more traditionally thought of as a credible threat to become the party's nominee, and they're looking to break out and be in that first tier that get mentioned with Biden, Sanders, and Warren.
We're talking right now with Mike Wagner. He's a professor of journalism and mass communication at UW-Madison. And we are talking about the first two Democratic debates, presidential debates, taking place tonight and tomorrow. And we'd love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Will you be watching? What questions do you want the candidates to answer? And what will help you pick a candidate if you're a Democratic voter or an undecided? What will help you decide which candidate you want to vote for? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. 1234, and we have a caller on the line right now, Arthur, who is in central Wisconsin. Hi, Arthur.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What did you want to say?
Oh, thank you so much. What the contest will be both tonight and tomorrow night is to decide which of the 24 candidates or 20 that qualified are going to be the furthest out on the left of the perspective of the Progressive Party. They're going to compete doggedly to find out who can out-progress the other. And the problem with Joe Biden is he really doesn't have to do anything. He just has to hold on to his central status, because the fact of the matter is that the Democratic Party has moved very, very, very far to the left of where most Democrats, most Americans are. And Joe Biden holding that unbreakable percentage is because he's sitting much closer to the center when he says things like, "These are my opponents. They're not my enemies."
Arthur, thank you so much for the call. And Mike, is this going to be a competition tonight to see which Democrat can out-progressive the others?
Traditionally, in party primaries, since you can't use party as a cue to know who you want to vote for, that is the kind of thing that can happen. The conservatives tend to run to the right. Democrats tend to run to the left to get more attention, especially as compared to front runners in those races. But in terms of American public opinion, the measure of national mood, which was developed by a scholar named Jim Stimson at University of North Carolina, has found that actually the public mood is more Democratic than it's been since he's measured it, I think, over the last 50 or 60 years. So it's an opportunity to move the party to the left for those candidates who would prefer that to happen. And more Americans are open to policies further to the left than maybe they were 4 and 8 and 10 years ago.
Do you think that it's important for a candidate, or do you think the media is going to be really searching for a winner, essentially, after tonight's debates?
Typically, news media tend to want to crown a winner, and there are a lot of flash polls with dubious kind of data gathering strategies that take place after these to try to declare a winner. And the research is not so much that what did the watchers of the debate think. The research suggests that when the news media say this person won and talk about that for days and show clips of that person for a few days, that can influence a lot more people, because the people who didn't watch the debate will see who won on the news and might start to affect their attitudes. And in a field of 20, that could be a big deal.
We've got another call now from Carolyn, who is in Door County. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
Go ahead with your comments.
Oh, my comment is I'm hoping that the candidates will address what their plans are for taking climate action. I know that the Democratic Party is barring any of the candidates from having a standalone climate debate, which I think is just terrible. But I do hope that the candidates themselves mention or promote what they plan to do. The next president is going to have to deal with the accelerating effects of climate breakdown, and I think this is one of the most important issues for them to talk about.
Carolyn, thank you so much for the call. Mike, is climate change one of the most important issues for Democrats to be talking about right now?
I think so, and I think, you know, one reason we're not going to see a climate change debate is that the DNC does not want to be seen as favoring a candidate. And Washington Governor Jay Inslee has said, "I am the climate candidate." And so if the DNC said, "Yes, we'll pick that issue to be one that's really important," you could argue that they're doing that to favor Inslee, who's not polling terribly well. And so are they trying to help him would be a narrative that might begin, despite the importance of that issue for the planet and more politically, just in terms of the politics of the Democratic primary. It's a big deal. We'll hear a lot about it over the next two nights for sure.
So, Mike, as we begin to wrap up, what are you going to be watching for in your role as a political scientist? What are you going to be watching for tonight during this debate?
Well, one thing that often happens in the few weeks aftermath of major focusing events in primary campaigns, whether they're elections or debates, are a winnowing process. And so eventually some of these candidates are going to go away. And when they do, what happens to the state of the race? Or if five or six folks start to realize it's not going to be them, where do their numbers of supporters go? Do they gather up and bring somebody from 1% to 5%? Are they evenly dispersed across the field and don't really matter much? So that's one thing. Another is who is crowned as the victor on each night and how that might affect their strategies attacking the front runners going forward.
Do you expect anyone to drop out after these first two debates if they have a bad performance?
I don't know. It's possible. It happens after these things. It happened on the Republican side 4 years ago or a couple of years ago. And so it wouldn't be surprising to see people drop out if they don't get a ton of attention and can't get any traction afterwards with their donors, with elites who might have been thinking about endorsing them and then backing away. Those are also signals that candidates are in trouble.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Mike Wagner is a professor in the School of Journalism and Communication, Mass Communication at UW-Madison. He joined us to look at the first of the Democratic debates leading up to 2020 and how much weight these debates carry in our news-saturated environment. And just to note, for those who want to watch or hear the debate tonight, WPR does not have the rights to carry it, but it will be televised live on NBC, MSNBC, and Telemundo, and it can also be streamed for free on NBC.com.